How are you, chaps? You all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look who we've got in the booth today, chaps.
Who is it? Who's that giggling away in the background?
Can you guess? Wait a minute. It's Katie Rand.
I recognise that voice.
Actually, I don't actually sound like me, though, do I, when I do the announcer stuff?
Yeah, you've taken on a certain personality, I would say, that isn't really like your actual personality.
Don't shatter the illusion, John.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
A million miles away.
She's actually quite a vicious, stern person in real life as well.
She's nails, isn't she?
But we should welcome to the show, officially welcome...
Voice of the Failing Writers Podcast.
Katie Rand.
Yay.
Hello, Katie.
Hello, Katie Rand.
Fancy
meeting you here.
I think what a lot of people listening would want to know, Kate, is how did the opportunity to become the voice of the Failing Writers Podcast come up? I mean, you know, who did you have to sleep with to get the gig?
Sleep with John.
Right, good. I think we're all comfortable.
Hang on, when did that happen?
I suppose the important question, though, Katie, is have you, in the last 30-whatever weeks of doing the show, have you been inspired to write?
Well, I was thinking about this. Well, obviously, the play that we're doing, the Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
About two psychologists doing a live lecture on what it takes to have the perfect marriage while their own is falling apart at the seams.
Which is a great idea, by the way. How is that going?
It's not going very well.
It's a terrible idea.
To be fair, Katie, it's going very well. It's just had to park up for a little bit, hasn't it? It's just sitting by the side of the road for a while.
Actually, we had one amazing session, didn't we? Where
we
wrote the first half hour and it just flew.
Flowed at the same time.
On the page. Yeah, that was
brilliant. I think the fact that we're still excited about it is a good sign.
I'm not sure I am.
Oh, no. This is actually news to me.
At least 50%
about
of you are
can't.
In some way excited about the project. That's a good... That's good, isn't it?
We are excited about it. I just can't quite believe that we're actually ever going to get it done.
Oh, well, time's ticking, because I know that there was a hard limit on this, wasn't there?
Got 2 years, basically.
Katie, did John ever tell you my brilliant idea for the pièce de résistance
Edinburgh
show? I think I mentioned on the podcast. Obviously, you don't actually listen to it, but that's fine. That's fine. It was that you and John actually get divorced just before you do the show.
Is this as a publicity stunt?
Yeah. And then for your last show, you get married.
Well, I think it's a good story, isn't it?
Better.
Oh, that is good.
I tell you what, that'd bring in the crowds, wouldn't it?
I'd be a tearjerker, wouldn't it?
I mean,
amazing PR story.
Yeah, you'd probably, all the money you'd get from tickets would have to go on the buffet.
Yeah. But,
that's a lot of quiche.
Still. Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I've never been a writer.
Do you know what? In that sense, then... Perhaps we have inspired one non-writer to become a writer.
Yes.
So our work here is done.
So sorry about that.
Thanks, though. You have inspired us.
Well, anyway, let's get to the important stuff.
Absolutely.
Christmas, Katie. What's your what does Christmas mean to you?
Well, it means a lot of games.
Does it? What sort of games?
A lot of parlour games and board games. Games of any shape or size.
What's the best Christmas game?
The best game we always play. Is John's dad's road quiz.
No, seriously, though, Kate, what is actually the best? Yeah, I know you're saying
it
that.
It is hilarious.
Yeah, he loves his roads. But...
He describes the road without giving the name of the road, and you have to identify the road.
Wow.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it must be in your house. It's 1 minute it's Christmas Eve, and then whoosh, suddenly it's February. Tyler just having so much fun, the time is just gone.
They are legendary now.
Yeah.
The road quizzes.
Anyway, Katie, we can't talk to you all day.
Yeah.
We need to crack on. We've got real people to speak to.
I know. Thanks so much. I'm such
so if you could just maybe crack on and do your job.
Yeah, do what you're here for.
Can I have the line again?
Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast, end of season special.
Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast, end of season.
I mean, that's staying in, but try
that is definitely staying in.
I'm not editing that out. So.
Hang on a minute. I was going to say end of season 7. Whoa.
Well, I mean, we'll keep that. We'll get that. We'll save that. We'll use that in a few years. Yeah.
Get it again.
If I'm still here in 7
Somebody's
years.
Somebody's got some optimism for Christmas.
Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast. End of... Oh, I like that. Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast, end of season special.
I think in many ways you've captured the whole podcast.
The spirit of the podcast.
In that, you really have.
In just a few words. Oh, well, that was nice. That just about sums up the general feel of our podcast.
Yeah.
So, are you feeling Christmassy? Are you feeling post-Christmassy, chaps?
I'm feeling very full. I've eaten far too much. I probably might just hibernate for the rest of the winter now. I always eat far too much at Christmas. It's kind of a tradition. If I don't eat two Christmas dinners on Christmas Day...
Two?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a roast dinner, isn't
it? Don't make yourself physically uncomfortable. What's the point?
That's exactly the point.
That's what baby Jesus would have wanted.
Yeah. I want to feel like I've stretched something on the inside.
You're trying to make yourself feel like the pregnant Virgin Mary.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Presumably,
Birdie, you have like a special pair of Christmas trousers that are expandable.
I just don't bother with trousers. Just make as much space as possible. If I'm not using the word distended by the end of Christmas Day, then something's gone wrong.
If your belly button's not an outie by the end of the day, then you're not happy.
Exactly. But we're not here to talk about my eating habits.
So the idea is this is our end of season spectacular, and we thought it'd be a great idea to catch up with all the people that we've talked to during the series. Well, the ones that actually wanted to speak to us again. Obviously, there's a few that don't. But that's understandable. That's understandable. And have a chat with them. Just have a catch up with them. See what Christmas is like for them. See what other work they've been doing. And talk to them and have a chat.
Supposed to be 2 minutes long, weren't they?
To be 2 minutes long. That was our idea, wasn't it? And then they were just like chatting to people. So they're not. So in episode one, we've got Kate Fox, Chris Paling, Tim Craig, Rosie Wilby, Adam Bushnell and Tim Glister. All coming up with nice mini interviews.
Yeah, let's crack on then.
Welcome back to the podcast again, Kate Fox.
Yeah, I'm never off, am I?
You're a resident poet, of course.
What's your favourite Christmas poem, Kate?
Oh, it's one I wrote, actually, in modern...
Oh, come on, seriously?
I know.
I mean, you could at least have a pretend to think about it for a while. Exactly. Or rather just go, it's mine, it's definitely mine. And it is available in all good bookshops.
It is.
Come on then, let's have a recital.
I haven't got it to hand, but I can give you a gist of it. You see, the reason I like it, right, it's called Christmas Presents. So not presents, presents. You would have been there. And it's about how you can have all these shiny things, that brand new toy, that amazing bike, but all they really want from you, all they really want you to do is be there with them in your Christmas presents.
Of course, depending on your family, that you could spin that poem the other way around and it would work for some people.
I was thinking the exact opposite is what I want for Christmas.
Brilliant. Grandma's turned up again and all I wanted was a bike.
A Christmas absence is desired. Yeah.
So how have you been, Kate? How have you been since about 3 weeks ago?
Have you been gigging, by the way?
I've been gigging. I've just...
Oh, nice. That must be
four
nice.
Four nights of rural touring in little village halls. And it was lovely. Because the thing I was most concerned about was not so much audiences, although they're running at about half the usual level of audiences, which is typical for most gigs at the moment. But it's fine, actually. But rural touring, they give you amazing food. Like the volunteers, they'll come and they won't just be like, oh, I have a sandwich from the co-op. They'll be like, oh, we've homemade some soup and here is a bread roll we fashioned this morning out of our own flour. Here's some syrup, sponge pudding and custard. Well, obviously, you don't get that normally as a gigging poet.
No.
So, and I thought because of COVID, certainly last year, they were not going to do the dinners. But because COVID's no longer a threat at all or anything. Yeah,
definitely. that's gone now.
So getting it or anything, no. Anyway, because it's not really gone, but they are still making the food again. Hurrah.
So nice. You're in the sweet spot.
Exactly, very much so, this liminal time. So I had 4 gigs and 4 nice teas.
Is that your limit then? You couldn't do like a 6 month rural tour, because otherwise it'd be like, right, can you roll Kate on stage now, please?
Prepare the bulldozer. No, exactly.
All of a sudden, all Kate's poems are just about pies and jam roly-polies and stuff. Oh my God.
Exactly. Four was just right, I think.
So when you say rural, like how rural? Are they just like little villages and things?
Yeah, villages, but they are pretty isolated, I suppose. And of course, I'm literally, you go, you're the only show in town. There's nothing else to do. Yeah. So you are the only thing happening. Yeah. So
I like to think you put that on your promotional posters in the village halls. Yeah. Kate Fox, poet extraordinaire. Come on, there's nothing really better to do.
The only thing going on.
Brackets, please bring pies. One last question, Kate, because we are running out of time. What is your favourite... Speaking of food, what is your favourite part of Christmas dinner?
It's the Christmas pudding, of course. I mean, so many people don't like Christmas pudding, but to me, how can you not enjoy the rich, currant-y, brandy-filled, cherry-filled goodness that is... In fact, I had my first Christmas pudding at the beginning of September.
You are just crazy.
You really do.
It'd come in the co-op with me. I couldn't resist. It was a down day. It cheered me up. It's all good.
And you'd obviously have that with the brandy butter, or are you a custard lady?
No. Neither of those things. Just cream. Double cream. Nice.
Straight
cold
up cream.
Double full cream. Yes.
Do you know what? I feel bloated already.
Yeah, I think we need to go and have a lie down and finish off the Quality Street, Kate.
But, yeah.
Right, thank you, gentlemen.
Happy New Year, Kate.
Happy New Year, Kate.
Happy New Year to you, yes. Carry on failing. You're doing it brilliantly.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
You take care.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Oh, thanks, Kate. Oh, it's nice to have you, Kate, isn't it?
Lovely. Yep. Merry Christmas.
A stalwart of the show now.
Exactly.
Isn't
but we don't have time to talk about that. Come on, we need to move on to the next one. We haven't got time to mess about, guys.
That's true.
Who's next?
Chris Perling. Let's have a chat with Chris Perling.
Okay.
We could just start by asking Chris, how are you and how will you be spending Christmas?
I'm good. It's been a good year. The book came out, obviously, and... it did better than any of the others put together, which was fantastic.
Oh, wow, brilliant.
Good, yeah.
And one of the really interesting things was I got loads of contacts from people I went to school with who I hadn't spoken to for like 40 years, all around the world. It was really strange. And for the first time, I've had something out that's actually reached people that I haven't told about. Do you know what I mean? Because normally when
nobody
finds it. They go, oh, how are you doing? How the book? Oh, really? But this for the first time, this one... people have contacted me saying, I see you've got a book out. So for some reason, this one has got a kind of wider readership and it's got out there, which has been great.
It's captured people's imagination a little bit.
And that is just to double check, that is the one that's featured on this podcast, isn't it?
It is indeed.
I'm not saying it's related, but just, you know, it's...
Well...
Join the dots.
Yeah, but you see, the fact is that it has featured on this podcast. You know, you were aware of me and... previously probably wouldn't have been.
True.
So that's just another example of the fact that it has got out there, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So what's next then, Chris?
Okay, so we've got two novels out there doing the rounds, which will probably never sell, but so I rewrote a novel over lockdown, which the agent's got and it's touting it around now.
Oh, is this the one that was a screenplay?
Yes, that's correct, yeah. So we're still waiting for some nice rejections on that one. And there's another one that's been out there for ages, so that won't sell. I mean, the screenplay one might. It's quite commercial. I mean, it's out there. It's really, really difficult at the moment to sell anything. But it's gone out to about 8 companies, I think, so we're just waiting for them to kind of tear themselves apart in a bidding frenzy for it. Really.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I mean, fingers crossed
for you. Thanks, yeah. I mean, it's been a good year. You know, it's been a really good year.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. I suppose we I don't know exactly when this is going out, but we ought to say either Merry Christmas or Happy New Year, or possibly both.
Yeah, and the same to you lot. I mean, good luck with this project. It's a fantastic project. And, you know, let me come back next year when I'm continuing to fail.
Yes.
As long as you promise you'll still be failing, Chris, not having any of this massive success stuff going on.
It's never going to happen, mate.
Although if you do get on Jonathan Ross, if we could pop along with you, maybe that'd be nice.
That's a deal.
Brilliant, get in. Right.
What I'd really like is if the bidding war did take place and you ended up with like a massive offer at the end of it and then just went, do you know what? No. Don't want it.
No.
Walked away.
Yeah, I'm not
happy failing.
There's no way I'm going to sell out. No way.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for coming on, Chris. Great to catch up with you. Brilliant.
That's all right. Yeah, I'll maybe speak to you next year, but thanks for that.
Have a good Christmas. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, then. Bye.
Wasn't that nice of Chris to say that we could go on Jonathan Ross with it?
Yeah.
And his next novel becomes an overnight success.
Let's face it, we're not going to get there under our own steam, are we? So it's good to piggyback somebody else.
So is that legally binding if you say it on a podcast?
Yeah, yeah, which I love the idea that someone actually did that and got on and we would just have to go and stand in the background and go, sorry, so it's, yeah, legally, they need to be here.
Yeah. It's written down somewhere.
Just stood waving in the background with that, with our Failing Writers podcast t-shirts on, pointing at the thing. He's going to regret that.
Well, I'm looking forward
to it. Anyway, guys, look at the time. We've got the next interview.
Egg. Right.
We can't chat. Come on.
Do you know what? We're supposed to keep the interviews to 2 minutes. We're not even keeping the bits between the interview to 2 minutes. Let's just crack on. Right, who's next?
Look, they're there. I can see them in the Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Tim.
Hi, how are you doing? Guys? I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
So what have you been up to then, Tim, in the brief interlude since we last spoke?
Not so much, really. A few stories here and there, trying to avoid all news of Christmas. And
welcome to our Christmas show.
Yes, exactly. Oh, ho, ho. Bah humbug.
I'm sure I saw that you'd placed in a couple of...
That was nice. That was a nice surprise. Yeah, third place in the latest round of the Bath Flash Fiction Award.
Nice.
Which was a nice surprise.
Do you know what I love as well, Tim? I was reading through your entry and a few of the others, and I just love the sort of the interplay between the writers of how genuinely nice everyone is to each other and like respectful. It's such a... like a mini community, isn't it? Where it's like
there really is. There's a very good writers community on Twitter, and I've only been sort of involved in it in the last sort of 3 years or so, I would say. But people are very, very supportive and generous, and it's refreshing from a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, because it's not all like that, is it? Twitter,
well, yeah, sometimes it's kind of like, oh, well done, yeah, well done you. That's really good. Well done you on your success.
No. Although, do you think that writers actually? Tend to be quite nice people on the whole, like quite pleasant people. They're empathetic people.
John's ridiculous sweeping comment of the day.
But you have to be empathetic, right? You have to understand how other people think, and some people don't. I mean, they just blatantly don't. I don't know.
I think there might be something in that. Yeah, that you have to understand how people work, and it's people need support. It can be quite a lonely business. Mm. So
as soon as anyone shows you some kind of affection and support, you're just like, oh, yeah, thank you,
It's what goes...
Real person.
Yeah, but what goes around comes around as well. So you know that, you know, if you're contributing to the good feelings, then they're going to come your way eventually as well. So, yeah, it's all... Everyone helps each other. Everyone lifts each other up. It's really good to see. Yeah.
Nice. What are you doing for Christmas, Tim?
I think I'm going to be sticking around here in Hackney, glorious Hackney. We were planning on going to Germany, see my wife's parents over there, but COVID has...
still a bit COVID-y, isn't it?
Still very COVID-y. It's got even more COVID-y.
Yeah.
They are the COVIDist at the moment, so we won't be doing that. So yeah, it'll be sitting around here and trying to distract the children from noticing that the Hackney pantomime will be starting soon, which is something.
Are you not keen on the panto?
You know what? I love the idea of panto. I think it's a great thing. It's a great thing for other people. And I once spent 3 days watching a 2-hour pantomime at the Hackney Empire, and I think that's that was my contribution.
That was enough.
Still, that's all behind you now.
What about the new year then, Tim? What's the plans? What's the next exciting thing?
I don't know. There's always something. I mean, if you're talking from a writing point of view, the good thing about sort of the lit mag journals and the competitions is there's always something coming around, and you know, there's always the next thing, next opportunity for your writing, isn't there? So the Bath Flash Fiction Award, let me get another plug in for that, because it is my favorite, and they are 3 times a year, so, and they come around very quickly. Oh, wow. So the next one will be sort of February time, so I encourage you all to enter that one.
Yeah. Tim, do you write specifically for certain competitions, or do you just churn out your short stories and then enter them when you think you've got.
Can you say churn out?
yeah. I was trying to be polite. Shit out. I don't know what would you say.
Yes, that's more like it. It's difficult. There's quite a lot of debate about what you know, the different types of story, and whether certainly different types of stories seem to win the competitions and seem to be accepted by different lit mags. But that's the same. It's the same anywhere, really, isn't it? I think so.
Yeah, they all have their own kind of.
They all have their own
style, house style.
Yeah, their own sort of aesthetic, yeah. And so yeah. You're looking out for that. But for me, the best thing about them is it makes me write. So I mean, if there's a deadline, you know, I've got a thing stuck to my computer, which is a Duke Ellington quote, which says, "I don't need time, I need a deadline," and that's very much me. You know, I suddenly find myself extremely productive as a writer in the fortnight before the latest flash fictional book closes. So it's really useful.
You are preaching to the choir. Well, Tim, thank you so much for popping
Thank you
on.
For having me.
Have a happy new year and good luck with all the writing stuff.
Thank you. And good luck to you guys with it all. I hope you have a brilliant Christmas and New Year. And look forward to catching up and hearing what you've been doing.
One. Cheers,
thanks, Tim.
Cheers. Take
happy
care.
New
Cheers,
year.
Guys. Bye.
Take care, mate.
Bye. Look, there we go. Tim's another one who seems to have been on every episode recently, doesn't he? He's another regular on the show. Yeah. So.
Flavour of the month.
Yep. Good to speak to Tim. But talking of flavours...
we did blindside Rosie Wilby a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
Just to explain, we were setting up the Zoom for this, and somehow we got talking about what kind of biscuits we would be if we were a biscuit, and then kind of collided with the start of the interview. Sorry, Rosie, but she
took it well. Yeah.
So if you were a biscuit, Rosie, what kind of biscuit would you be?
Oh my goodness, what have I just logged into?
If you're going to appear in the middle of a conversation about being a biscuit.
Then I've got to participate. I think I would be a malted milk, but one of the ones with chocolate on.
Oh.
Mm. Oh yeah.
That is nice.
quite partial to one of those.
So almost like an underrated but very high quality biscuit.
Exactly.
But when people have them, they go... Oh my God, I'd forgotten how good these are.
I think that says a lot about how I feel my position in the world is.
Wow, that frivolous question really has delved psychologically deep in, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good all-round biscuit, but with a tendency to snack.
It really has.
All right. It's gone to another place now, yeah.
Trouble with Dave. Dave is a typical hobnob.
Oh, yeah. Just a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, just lots of things crushed together.
I'm only kidding, Dave. Yeah. I love you.
Anyway, how are you, Rosie? How have you been since
I'm okay. Are we recording the thing yet? Or we're not on this kind of two-minute deadline?
No, it's a fairly loose... 2 minute deadline. We're just
I was gonna say, because you know,
that was more just to convince people that they have the time to spend with rather than actually do it. As it turns out.
Oh, I see. Because no, I felt like, you know, this was a high pressure situation, like when I started out as a comedian and you have 5 minutes on stage. Or there was, you know, there's one night where a load of us had gone down from London to a gig in Brighton. We were all waiting in this tiny green room. And my friend Sarah went on stage. She had 5 minutes. And as she went on with her 5 minutes of prepared material, a woman in the audience shouted out that she would like her to lead a chorus of happy birthday for her friend.
Oh.
Which took up about a minute of her five. Oh. So, you know, one gets anxious as a comedian about time. You think, you know, I need to get to my punchline. I need to get to
and
the
it turns
bit.
Out that's your time up. So,
So what, because you seem to have been doing a bit of touring, Rosie. We've been keeping an eye on you. You've been on various other podcasts.
Oh, I know. I've been gallivanting about, haven't I? I've cheated on you with other podcasts.
We did notice. Yeah. Is monogamy dead when it comes to podcasts? Yes, it is.
Yeah, no, I've been on some lovely podcasts and been doing some live shows and festivals and events and stuff, although sadly a few things now towards the end of the year are now getting cancelled.
So in those circumstances, Rosie, do you then go go and write?
I should do, shouldn't I?
I knew. Yeah, well, now you've said that, John, yes, you are making her feel guilty. Well, she was just going to, you know, have a bit of time off and enjoy herself. But yeah, you have to write.
Well, I have got, you know, I'm starting to process ideas in my mind about ideas. But I also do write when I'm not sort of working on a book. I write articles fairly regularly. So I have got an article coming out in a Christmas issue of a women's magazine next month about sort of how Christmas has changed and kind of coming out at Christmas and that kind of thing. So yeah, I am always working on things, but yes, I'm not actively writing my next book just yet.
When you were a kid, what was the Christmas toy that everyone wanted?
When I was a kid, I can remember getting very rudimentary video games, like electronic games, and that was very, very exciting. Yeah, yeah, like, I had a little Pac-Man game. It was like a tiny little yellow thing.
A little handheld ones.
Yeah.
The LCD ones.
Yes.
Yes, and also I had a Space Invaders one as well. But yeah, they were just little handheld games, and
I had a Donkey Kong one.
And they only played that one game, but they were really addictive, weren't they? Whereas now we've got an iPhone, which is the same size, which can do so many different things. But yes, I can definitely remember those games, and I remember asking for a Pac-Man game. Doesn't it take you back?
It does.
I remember being jealous of all the kids with those when I were a lad.
Oh, then you'd have the posh kids that would get a Mr. Frosty.
Oh, bastards. I've still never tasted a Mr. Frosty. 42 years old, and I still don't know what a Mr. Frosty tastes like.
Anyway, it tastes very blue.
Tastes of sadness. What will you be doing this Christmas, Rosie?
Well, my partner and I will be having her mum and my dad over at our house for Christmas. Although we are cutting it fine because we are having a new kitchen put in by the slowest builder.
This sounds like a setup for a sitcom. Kitchen's still being built, so I don't know if we can cook the turkey.
I know. So yeah, Steve the builder needs to get a move on. He's not turned up yet this morning. It's slightly down to the wire because there's really nothing installed or connected up at all yet. So we'll see.
It's all good writing material, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? I'm seeing a scene on Christmas morning where you can only have one appliance on at a time and the whole family's...
right, you microwave that bit of turkey, and then as soon as that's done...
We'll flick the lights on for a minute.
Yeah. And then we'll get the heater on.
Yeah, well, we always have some fun cooking the Christmas dinner. A couple of years ago, my partner's mum, Glenda, set the roast potatoes on fire because she wasn't familiar with our hob and how powerful it is.
For a second, I thought you meant deliberately, like spitefully.
Just sat at the table, spikes the ball with her and just looks at everyone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You having a good Christmas now, are you?
One other thing is, if anybody lovely did enjoy my book after maybe listening to me on your podcast last time, I'm trying to get to 100 reviews by the end of the year on Amazon. So if anyone did buy it on Amazon and can post there, that would be really, really fantastic.
Go now with all haste to Amazon.
Thank you.
Come on, people.
I'd really appreciate it because it really does just help books in people's eyes.
Bad reviews, good reviews, we don't care. Anything, just write anything. One star, whatever, just get on there. Just a numbers game, that's all it is.
Bless you.
Well, thanks, Rosie.
Thank you so much.
Have a happy new year.
Yes,
brilliant.
Happy new year, Rosie. To you too.
Cheers.
All right,
yeah, happy
care.
New year.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Rosie. I think one of my favourite bits of that was the idea of someone setting roast potatoes on fire, but on purpose, just as a protest.
Yeah. You wouldn't think they'd catch, would you? But
no.
Yeah. Anyway,
assuming what we talked about at the start of the episode, though, Dave, you would still eat them.
Yeah,
whether they were on fire, burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, get them in there. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes to waste.
It's a flavour enhancer, isn't it?
Exactly.
Be honest. Yeah. Bit of smoke.
Yeah. Well, the charcoal will help him digest his other three Christmas dinners, won't he?
That's true, yeah. Help flush things through.
What a horrible thought.
Lovely. It's what Christmas is all about, isn't it?
Thinking about Dave's bowels.
Oh, lovely. Say what you like about it, but I find it very moving. Next up is children's author Adam Bushnell. And towards the end of this mini interview, there is a genius Dragon's Den moment that I think may be shaping his future career. So I'll leave you to find out what that is. But yeah, here's Adam. So welcome back to our end of season spectacular to Adam Bushnell.
Thanks for having me, guys. The three wise men, that's what we've got here.
Yeah, bagged you the gold. So what have you been up to, Adam, since last we spoke?
In schools, an awful lot, doing loads and loads of catch-up writing with children in schools. But we're now entering the festive season. So we're hitting December, and before December, you're not allowed to use the C word in schools.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
I think that's a good rule. That's a good solid rule.
It is a good rule. It's, you know, it's staff are stressed out about Christmas, and children just get so excited. But I was asked to run a writing workshop in a school recently where they did want me to use the C word.
Yeah.
And there was a small child, a year one child, who was sat there crying. And I went over and I asked her if she was okay. And she told me that her mother said that if you use the C word before December, then reindeer die.
Wow.
Yeah, I reassured her that I had a special letter from Santa that we could talk about it on this day and no reindeer would be lost throughout the process. Wow.
Well, at least that's not going to psychologically scar her.
Yeah. You were telling her that her mum is a bullshitter, basically.
Yeah, that's right. Using Santa as an excuse. You know, it's quality parenting, isn't it, really?
You can only imagine, though, that we're judging the parents very harshly here, I imagine, like I am, immediately. But it may be the case that they really are at the end of the tether with this kid that she's mad about. And for like September onwards, she's just like, when's Christmas? Is it Christmas yet? Can I put Christmas up? Can we have Christmas?
Yeah, you can't judge.
With the invention of the elf on the fucking shelf. I mean, just works.
I saw one in the garden. They had elf on the shelf in the garden centre I was in the other week. And it said something on the packaging, something like the Christmas tradition. Hold on a minute. You can't just been around a few years and it's tradition now. Yep, definitely is.
You've got to
definitely
do it. Otherwise, you'll upset the kids.
It's bound to be in the nativity plays now. There's bound to be an elf on a shelf somewhere in a bloody nativity.
I think you're right. Actually, I was talking to the children about nativity as well, and I said to them, name me a character from the nativity. And one of the children said, narrator 3. So I'm looking forward to doing some writing over the Christmas holiday. That'll be a nice break from trying to get children to write. So,
What are you into? What are you writing?
I've got a couple of deadlines. I've got two second editions of books that I need to get on with, basically. And then I've also got a book of myths and legends that I'm working on as well. So that the deadline for that's January, so the pressure's
on. You haven't run out of myths and legends yet?
No, there's countless. I mean, basically, you change the setting, you change the character.
Yeah. He just keeps making them up.
Be all right.
The one he's writing about now is the Elfus on the Shelfus, which was an ancient...
or Elvis on the shelf. That would be good.
Well, actually, that's not a bad idea. You could sell that.
Good. Yeah.
The grown-up version.
A reinforced shelf.
But, Adam, have you got any, speaking of strange Christmas traditions, have you got any strange Christmas traditions that you thought were normal until you started spending Christmas with people other than your family?
I must admit, I am very partial to putting out the mince pie and the reindeer food and all the rest of it. I think that's super important. And my children are 18, 17 and 16. And I still have...
Well, they should be able to do it properly by now, then, shouldn't
they? Exactly. Why am I the only one getting involved? But actually, there was one year when I wasn't going to bother on Christmas Eve, and they were all slightly aghast and said, "Well, you know, get the mince pies out. Santa's going to be hungry." So I still very much stick to that tradition.
The reindeers are in enough trouble as it is from people mentioning Christmas in November. Now you're not going to feed them. Bloody hell, you monster.
I know, absolutely. So, yes. Now, I'm looking forward to spending time with the family and just kind of getting the writing done. I'll get up super early while everybody else is in bed and I'll get most of my writing done then. I much prefer writing in the mornings and I'll just crack on while nobody's around.
Oh, that's interesting, Because it seems to be that people have a different time of day, which is their... sort of optimum time for writing. So you can just get up and get on with it first thing.
There's a book called What I Talk About When I Talk About Running, which is by Murakami, a Japanese writer, who talks about how his writing has been massively influenced by his exercise, by his running. And he's in his 50s and he does super marathons, marathons that are back to back with each other.
Madness.
And he absolutely says that if you're going to be a writer, you need to be a runner. And Stephen King in his book On Writing says similar stuff, that get up early, do some exercise, get stuck in. It's the best time to write.
Well, that bodes well. We all do a bit of running, don't we, lads?
Yeah.
Yeah, not first thing in the morning, though. But
not very much. But yeah.
We'll set a Zoom call for 5 a.m. on Christmas morning.
God. What about New Year, Adam?
New Year?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of straight back into schools from the 4th of January. So my friends and I, we all go on a traditional New Year's walk every year. Sorry, that's the dog. I'll start that again.
Is New Year his trigger word?
That's right. She goes mental when she hears the word New Year. So, yeah, my friends and I, we go on a walk every New Year, and we'll be doing a bit of that out in the Dales or the Lake District or somewhere like that. And, yeah, be fantastic.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Just to recommend a book, Bob Mortimer's autobiography contains one of the best Christmas present stories I've ever read, ever. Oh. It was the moment when his belief in Santa Claus was shattered on his 10th, he was 10 years old, and he got a Christmas present, and he knew from that moment on that Santa wasn't real because of what it was. Well worth a read.
James. That's one of those books that everyone will probably get at least two or three copies of.
Yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah, that's what you want. That's when we write something like that and everybody gets three copies at Christmas.
Yeah, at Christmas.
With that Elvis on the shelf. Yeah.
That's the winning idea. Oh, well, it's been lovely to speak to you, Adam.
Yeah, thanks Brilliant. Very much, guys. I'm absolutely loving the podcast. It just gets better and better. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, bless you.
Brilliant, Adam. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming back on. And have had a Merry Christmas and do have a Happy New Year.
He's kind of struggling with the time thing, aren't you?
Oh, I can't get my head around it. Yeah, it's pre-recording thing.
Yeah. You always think that. You know when you see the Christmas specials on TV? And they're all like, they've got the tree up and everyone's wearing the jumpers and stuff. It's like a game show or something.
Yeah,
and you think, that was recorded in August. Yeah. They're all like sweating cobs because it's absolutely boiling in there, but they're all wrapped up in the Christmas stuff and everyone's pretending to be Christmassy. Just got to pretend.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's go with it. Okay, have a great time.
Cheers,
Adam.
You take
bye.
Care, mate.
Bye-bye. Oh, good to speak to Adam as well. Thanks for that. And so we come to our final guest for this particular episode, who may or may not be a spy.
He's definitely not a spy. I think he is.
Well, I think he probably is. And we may or may not have mentioned it again in this interview. But it was good to catch up with Tim Glister and see how his book has been going.
Yeah. Welcome, Tim Glister. Thank you very much for being foolish enough to come back and talk to us again. It's always very much appreciated.
That's my absolute pleasure.
To our end of season special. So just a dead quick chat to see how you're getting on. What's going on with your life?
Well, I am continuing to write.
Oh, that's good. We haven't put you off there.
Like all good authors, I just won't stop doing it. Yeah, so we're kind of, I'm at the point where I'm kind of taking stock of how Red Corona did, which has been really nice, starting to gear up for book two, A Loyal Traitor, which is coming out in February, and all the while working on book three, which I have to get done by April.
Crikey.
So, Tim, have you got any numbers for us for Red Corona? How's it doing? Is it selling all right?
So the funny thing is, because it came out this year and because it initially was published in January when, you know, shops were shut and sales weren't being recorded, I'm kind of still, well, basically, I'm focusing on things other than sales right now.
Fair enough. Well, I can certainly account for one. I got one. So that's, you know,
oh, thank you.
Anything on top of that is a bonus.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to say it felt, particularly with that first release, you're always flying a bit blind until royalty statements come in and stuff like that. And you just kind of, you know, have to hope that some people like it and some people might have bought it. And then you get kind of drip fed like your PLR statement, which came yesterday, or your first set of royalty statements. And you think, oh, actually, no, people have, you know, people have bought it. People have read it, you know, some nice reviews as well. So it's quite a nice drip feed of positivity at the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're presumably very reliant on who reviews it, and you know, so a lot of it's probably like the luck of the draw, isn't it? It's a bit like podcasting. If somebody big reviews it, then you know you're onto a winner. But if you kind of got to wait for that moment,
and it's, you know, it's review. It's also word of mouth. I mean, you look at someone like Mick Herron, and you know, we had slightly different series. His has more of a kind of comedic air to it, but that kind of spy genre where it might take a few in the series, because what you really want is when someone discovers your writing and they love it and they want to tell people about it, you want there to be a couple of books for them to recommend. So, you know, it's very much kind of seeding that early ground so that then, you know, when something amazing does happen, you're good to go.
So
are you writing all over Christmas, or have you got any specific Christmassy plans?
I will be writing over Christmas. Hopefully I'll be seeing my parents, if things go well, for Christmas. And then again, if things continue to go well, I might be able to nip over to America and see some friends over there for New Year's Eve, because I think, like everyone, have some travel vouchers that I need to use up.
But that's only if you can sort out your Esther.
Only if I can sort out all of my paperwork, There's so much paperwork now for travelling.
It must be tricky as a spy, Tim, because people, you know, would be dubious about letting you in the country.
Well, you know, I've got to remember which passport I'm using.
Did I have the moustache on or off in the photo? Was, you know.
Oh, and I am actually growing a moustache at the moment. I am actually going for setting into my for my winter look. So yeah, I don't look like anything in any of my passports.
There we go.
He's going full author. He's starting to grow lots of hair and jet setting across the world. He's gone big time, lads. He's gone big time. Since, do you remember when we first knew him? And he was all humble and look at him now. Look at me now.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm off to San Francisco. So if San Francisco suddenly pops up in a book, you will know that I have charged that flight back to tax.
I just imagine like the last line of something. And that happened in San Francisco. Right. I mean, that was part of the research. Ching, ching. Are you a Christmas person, Tim? Are you Christmassy?
I am. I do enjoy it. I'm in a new house, so it's kind of a first Christmas scenario, which is very nice.
First Noel.
I moved over summer, so this is kind of, this is my first North London Christmas, so that'll be quite nice. And it will be my first, actually, no, it'll be my first intentional Christmas in London. Last year, obviously, everyone's Christmas was a bit weird. You did what you could. This time it's on purpose. So I'm kind of looking forward to being able to eat what I want, go where I want, see who
Absolutely.
I want.
I've just made up a Christmas cracker joke. Do you want to hear it?
Yes. Well, no one wants to hear it, but go on.
What do spies do at Christmas, Tim?
I wouldn't know. What do spies do at Christmas?
Oh, he's good with a cover, isn't he?
He's the very right answer. Good with a cover. No, they bond.
Thanks, thanks, John. Well,
you're welcome.
I was just about to say that's all we've got time for. We've got more people to speak to, but I don't feel like we can leave it on that. That feels like a real says something.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite Christmas cracker joke, Tim? To lift our spirits at the end.
Oh God, there's the oldest one that I remember my mum being so delighted. I don't even know if it was a Christmas cracker. I think she brought it home from work and she was so delighted with it. What is the difference between snowmen and snow women?
I don't know. What is the difference between snowmen and snow women?
Yes.
I told you I was good at it. I can always do the Christmas cracker ones.
Well, that's a much more positive note to end on, isn't it? So thanks very much for coming back and talking to us, Tim.
I hope you guys are going to have an amazing Christmas break.
Thank you.
That would be nice.
But have a fantastic 2022, Tim.
Yeah,
I will. Hopefully, it will be busy. There'll be more books. There'll be more stuff.
Yeah, we'll stay in touch. Let us know.
We'll have you back on with a massive success of the next 2 books.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Tim.
I'll catch you guys.
Cheers,
later.
Tim.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm spent.
I'm a little bit interviewed out now.
Quite intense.
Mm. Yeah, I'm getting hungry again now. So
I feel like Dave's dining chair at the end of the 25th of December.
Starting to creak slightly.
Yeah, I'm glad we split this into 2 episodes, because it would have been a very long and mental episode.
It felt very Christmassy.
Thank you for listening to the first half of our end of season spectacular. But there's more to come.
How long do they have to wait, Tom? For the next half?
I don't know. That's up to us, isn't it? Should we just... Let's not tell them. We're just going to release it on a day.
Yeah.
Could be Wednesday. Might be Thursday.
No one will ever know. Well, until then...
Hey, guys, before we go, we should we should maybe set up for the next episode. We should tell our lovely listeners about our name change, about the podcast name change.
What's that, oh, yeah. John?
What's that?
Well, following our recent news, we can't possibly call ourselves the Failing Writers anymore, can we?
Yeah.
we don't necessarily qualify as successful writers, but I was thinking of something more like, what's that word that we like to use for the stuff that we write?
Competent. Competent. Solid writers.
Competent. The competent writers.
Second round writers.
Yeah. Should we tell them next time?
Yeah, let's tease it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll tell you next time what's going on. But I think you'll be really pleased for us.
But right, let's go then. Because if we don't go, we can't come back for the second half.
Good point.
Until then, dear listener.
Bye.
Happy New Year. Hello.
Where's everybody gone?